One Family Fellowship, and DDR Ministries present I'm Still Standing. And now, Apostle David Robertson.
Book of Daniel, chapter number 3, verse number 1 through 6. And then we're going to skip over to verse number 12. I know I told you you can be seated, but go ahead and let's stand in honor of the word of God. Y'all just getting some exercise, that's all. Amen. Go on and see, my fit people ain't complaining. They like, yeah, go on and get them squats in, sir. What book are we in?
Daniel.
Huh?
Daniel.
Daniel chapter what?
3.
Verse what?
1 through 6.
Huh? 1 through 6 and then? 12. Verse 12, girl, ain't chapter 12. All right. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. That's 60. Whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come and to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. He sent for like the leadership. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image of that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall in the same hour be cast into the midst of a fiery furnace." Verse 12 says, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not your gods, neither do they worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Look at somebody and just say, "I'm still standing. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. This monitor is bothering me. It's either this monitor or it's that speaker. Something is not all together. Hello. That don't sound good. That one's louder. I don't hear anything from this one in the middle. Anyway, now, I'm still standing. How many of you are still standing? Amen. Okay, don't lose energy on me now. Amen. Still standing. Now, something, let me see, Lord, how are we going to do this? Okay, you do know that we are all strangers in this land.
Yes.
Amen. I got some people that believe that. The word of God basically calls us aliens here on this earth. In other words, that this is not our final resting place. If you are a child of God, you are here, and this is not your home.
Amen.
This is not your home. And since this is not your home, the question I have is why do we try to make ourselves comfortable in a place that's not ours?
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
How how do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, by going with the flow, going with what everybody else is doing, trying to be a part of the in crowd, not able to tell the difference between us and the people that live in the world. Why are we trying to be comfortable? Does that make sense? There it is. I don't know what you did, but you did something. Now, the enemy doesn't like us in his neighborhood, in his territory, because this is supposed to be his domain. All right. Whether you realize or not, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but the earth, God gave it to Satan to roam free on. Understand? Now, it's the same thing if you rent. If you rent, I got a ring. If you rent, look what happens when you rent. You have a landlord, right? Uh-huh. You can do whatever you want to do within reason in that house. Uh-huh. That landlord is not going to come to that house and tell you how to cook, tell you how to clean, tell you how to discipline your kids. The landlord has nothing to do with any of your personal stuff. Uh-huh. But at any given time, the landlord can come in and sell it off from up under you and shut it down if they want to, because rightfully it's theirs. You're just borrowing it. Uh-huh. Am I making sense? So it's the same thing essentially, is God is the owner of everything. And the enemy is renting the world out until Christ returns. So what does that mean? That he has free reign to do whatever he wants to do here, simply because this is the area that God gave him to reign in. This is why we do not belong here. Am I making sense? So now, since we've gotten that established, it's amazing now that the enemy, he's very upset. He's very mad at us because he knows that he know where he going. Uh-huh. Right. Let me help you here. Right. If you have your house, you got your house, and your house is your house. Nothing about your house. You know your house inside out, right? Uh-huh. You can walk through your house blindfolded.
Yeah.
You might take your time doing it, but you can walk through it, but you know where every corner is. You know where the couch starts. You know where it stops. You can even probably remember if the kids left something in the floor that you saw right before you went to bed. You understand what I'm saying? So you know your house. So therefore, if somebody is in your house and they've never been in your house and it's pitch black in the room, you have a better chance of defeating that person if they're an intruder, because you know where everything is in the house. Am I making sense? But what happens is that sometimes when you see, and this is how the enemy feels. We're in his house, and for some reason, he's finding it hard to defeat us in his house. You're going to get that in a minute. This is why he's upset. See what happens? I know my house in, up and down, right and left. I know my house. But what happens is when you can run up on somebody in your house, they may not know your house better than you do, but when you come in contact with them, they may be stronger than what you thought. Let that sink in. So in the same way, in the spirit here in this world, we're walking, talking Jesus Christ, and the enemy's looking at us saying, what they doing in my house? And when he runs up on you, he realizes they're a lot stronger than what I thought. This is why they can do the type of things in my house, is because they have more strength than what I assumed that they had. Okay. Now, how does this all tie in? Is because you're still standing on something. You're not just doing all the things you're doing because you're so strong. But you're standing on something. You're standing on a firm foundation. Now, this particular passage of scripture, if I can get through it, if you pay attention to what happened, watch what happened. Early on, it said, King Nebuchadnezzar, yeah, thank you, Lord, built an image. Let that sink in. He built an image for people to worship. Genesis. We were created in his. So now you have a king who's creating another image for the people of God to worship.
You're listening to Apostle Robertson of DDR Ministries. And one family.
Yes, I'm the king, but I'm going to build something out of gold, materialistic stuff. And he said, I'm going to call everybody together. And when you hear all kinds of music, fall down. That should stop you right there.
In other words, lose track, fall down, stop moving, stop going, stop going here to there, fall down, have an accident, hurt yourself, and worship the image that I have created. How are we worshiping the images that's been created for us today? I'll let you think about that. So, the king is full of himself. He wants to be worshiped. He wants to be praised. He wants to be lifted up. He wants to be high and mighty. But you know, when the Bible says train up a child in the way that they should go, when they are old, they will not depart from it, right? Now, the three Hebrew boys, there were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but then they had another partner named Daniel. And what people don't understand, the king changed all of their names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was not their names given in the Hebrew language. Neither was Daniel. Neither was Daniel was the name that he received, but the king changed Daniel's name to, He changed Daniel's name. He changed Daniel's name to the same name as his God. I'm finna show you. It's in the book of Daniel, chapter number one. There it is, Belshazzar. He changed Daniel's name to Belshazzar, right? And he changed the other guy's name to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, he stole their identity. If you were here Thursday, that would mean something to you. He took them away from what they've always known. He took them away from their roots. He changed their names. And so, look, he knew Daniel had great gifts. And so what am I going to do with a man that has great gifts from God? I'm going to give him the name of my God. So when people hear me say Belshazzar, they think I'm talking about my God. Does that make sense? So now he's saying Belshazzar did this. Everybody else may be believing that he's talking about a God and not necessarily Daniel. Okay? Are you getting this? So now he shifted the identity, their names of these children, and he fed them. He tried to feed them their food and everything else. But the children of Israel chose not to. This is why it's important that when you train up your children, when they get old, they won't depart. Won't nobody be able to bump their head because you taught them what to do and what not to do. So he was saying, regardless of the name that you call me, regardless if you change my name or not, you didn't change what's down on the inside. Am I making sense to you? So now here it is. The king is so full of himself. The king is so full of himself. He says, I'm going to build this little thing. I'm going to build this golden statue for everybody. And I got so much power that I can build a golden statue. And I can tell these folk to just fall down and worship this statue when they hear the music. You got to understand there is more of a message in the music than what you're giving it credit for. Because there's no possible way that you can listen to some of the mess that we hear on the radio every day. If you're a child of God, something ought to make your ears bleed.
Amen.
Oh, let me move over. Let me get over this side somewhere. Because I, for the life of me, I can only listen to so much 94.5. I don't even know what the other stations are. But when you are walking in God, walking in Christ, there comes a time when a shift happens in your head to where you said, I can't put that in my spirit no more. Because this contaminates my spirit, whether you know it or not. What you watch and what you listen to has a funny way of playing itself back when you go to sleep. So he told them, when you tell everybody, when you hear the music, I want everybody in here to fall down and worship this image. You were created in the image of God, so why are you worshiping an image that was created by man?
Oh, that's good.
Why? Why? Why are you worshiping them shoes? Why are you worshiping that hairstyle? Why are you worshiping that football game? Pastor, how are we worshiping a football game? Keep turning around looking at the clock because you know kickoff is at 12 o'clock. Worshiping a football game. Missing Bible study to watch a basketball game. Uh-oh. Missing all kind of studies just to take your kids to soccer practice. Oh, that touched some toes right there. You got to understand what God is. Wow, how are we putting anything in the place of God?
Oh, yeah, it just got real. I know I'm on it. They looking at me mad, but that's all right. I'm a grown man. It's a grown man up here, dog. Now, watch this. Watch now. Look what happened. He blew the horn. They had a band playing. Y'all finna get down with the music. If I started some music right now that everybody in here knew, you couldn't be still. You know what I'm saying? You could not be still. Some, even if you was trying to look serious, your pinky or something would be going. Or you be clacking your teeth to the beat or something, because something about that music, once it get in you, you can't just sit still when it's something that you like. But all of these people got down. But then all of a sudden, train up a child in the way that they should go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, wait a minute, they bowing down stuff to a god. No, that's something we don't do. What about the peer pressure? Everybody's doing it. Uh-oh. Everybody around me, the people I work with, my homeboys, it ain't but three of them, and you got provinces of people packed out in this place, and ain't but three people chose not to do it. Wouldn't it be easy for them to just bow down because everybody else was doing it? Amen. No, it's not easy, because you still have to sacrifice what you believe in order to be like everybody else. And so now they're standing here, and the leadership took notice of them. See, watch this, family. Now, if you have a job, leadership don't take notice of you.
At the job, until you decide to be like somebody else. Did you hear what I said? Anyone that's somebody else, until you decide to be like Jesus Christ. Am I making sense?
Amen.
So when they take notice of you, don't come back home.
Thank you. Boom. When they take notice of you, it's because you stuck out. Does that make sense? When you stick out in a crowd, that's when you can get promoted.
Okay.
When you stick out, everybody else complaining about the work they got to do. But when you get the work and you do the work, you do it well, even though you don't feel like doing it, you feel like you being picked on, but you think, oh, I'm picked out to be picked on. I'm going to do this to the glory of God. I ain't going to say nothing. You done talked about me. You done lied on me. I know it's wrong. I'm tired. I'm missing time with my family. But you know what? I'm not doing this for you. I am doing this at the name of Jesus. Now watch. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. They're standing here, right? They're standing here. They decide, we're not going to bow. Because our relationship with God is more important than our relationship with this man that got all this money. Their relationship with God, and here you get the leadership running back to the king. Remember what you had said, king? Remember you said that you know, you built this image, you put this out here for everybody to worship, and you yourself said, now these people are already jealous because you got three men of God that's running a city that don't believe in God. That's what he mean when he said, I'll make your enemies your footstool. So just watch this, baby. Let me tell you this. Just because somebody that you work for, you know they ain't living the right kind of lifestyle, just because that person decided to promote you, don't you say, no, I ain't going to take that promotion because that can't be from God because they gay or because they did. No, 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 no. God will promote you because of your lifestyle. You better pay attention to what I'm saying. God will promote you in a place that ain't got no God in it. He'll promote you so it can have some God in it. He said, I didn't give you that job so you could be like everybody else. I gave you that job so you can keep on standing and quit trying to bow like everybody else. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood up there. The peer pressure didn't get to them, Katina. It didn't get to them. It didn't bother them whatsoever. And now the leadership, watch this now. The king probably didn't even know their name. They wrote that song, Take Me to the King. Because their actions got them to the king. Their actions got them put in front of the one person that can make every decision in the city that could change everybody's life. Their actions that they stood up for God.
They said, we're going to take y'all to the king because y'all heard what was supposed to happen. You're supposed to be burned up. You're supposed to be, we ain't having it. If you ain't worshiping the king, if you ain't doing what the king said, we don't need you here. That's why we didn't want y'all in position no way, because y'all too happy about this Jesus stuff. Y'all always talking Bible. Y'all always talking this. And now when everybody else, this is what the order is. So since this is the order, y'all think y'all better than everybody else.
And one family fellowship.
So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they go to the king, and they stand there, and the king is furious. Did you not hear the order? Did you not hear that when the music comes on, you're supposed to bow down? I brought y'all in here, been training you all of this time. Everybody else bowed down, but you decided to stand up. Yeah. Why? What's your explanation? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, one of them said, and it blew my mind. He said, we are not going to defend our position to you. Let that rest. We don't have to tell you nothing. We don't have to defend our decisions for our God to you. This has got to bless somebody. You got to stop trying to defend to people that don't believe in your God why you trust in God. Because there are a lot of people, why you go to that church? Why you do this? I don't have to defend my belief in God to nobody. He said, did you not hear what was going to happen to you if you didn't bow down? Yeah, we heard it. But we still not going to bow down. Play the music again. Let's give them a chance. You don't even have to do that. Because I'm telling you, we ain't going to bow down. We going to keep on standing. Regardless of the pressure that you put on us, you can threaten us with that fire and everything else. Guess what? We will not bow. And now they're standing here, and the king looks around, and he says, turn the fire up 7 times hotter than it normally is. Then he says, tie them up as tight as you can possibly tie them. Then Shadrach looks at him, and he says, so now that you see the fire is hot, you see what I'm about to do to you. You see your bills about to go unpaid. You see your kids about to act a fool. You see your church ain't finna do this. You see your job firing people. You see that they caught this person. You see how she lied on her. You see how he lied on him. You see all of these things. And he said, he kept telling him, say, you see this fire getting ready. Then he made a mistake. He said, now what God will be able to deliver you from my hands when I put you in that fire? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked at him. One of them said, regardless of what you say or do, watch now, our God is able, right there, our God has the ability to bring us out if he wants to. But then watch what they said. They said, but nevertheless, even if he don't bring us out, we still not go bow. In other words, even if I lose my job, I'm still not going to bow. Even if I lose my family, I'm still not going to bow. Even if every church member walk out the door, I'm still not going to bow. He said, it don't matter, because I know he's able to deliver me. And if he doesn't deliver me, it's got to be a reason. So he called the strongest men around. He called them, throw them in the fire. Walked in, Bible says, and they opened the door. And when they opened the door, the fire jumped out. Watch this now. And burned everybody that was trying to push them in there. The fire came out and killed everybody. It killed everybody that had their hands
on the men of God. The fire that they was trying to put them into came back and burned them up. That's why the Bible says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophet no harm. Because the very danger you're trying to put somebody else in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tied up. And now the person that opened the door then got burned up. And they still pushed him in there, bound, wrapped up. King said, that'll show you. That'll learn you. I don't care nothing about them. Yeah, they dead. I ain't need them no way. That'll learn you. Get in there. He goes back and he sits in his seat. And he's watching, waiting for them to burn up. Waiting for them to fail. Waiting for them to have a nervous breakdown. Waiting for them to give up on life. Not trying to, knowing that he put them in this situation, but I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait for you to burn up. But then when they turn around, they said, even if he does not deliver us, we know that he is able. You got to stop and look at what happens right here. Look at what happens right here. God did not deliver them from their situation, but he stepped in their situation with them. What does it say? He said, the king stood up and he looked. He said, wait a minute, y'all, come here a second. One, two, three, four. Didn't we put three people in that fire? Didn't we put three people in that fire? He said, but for some reason I see a fourth person in this fire. And see, that gives me the peace of knowing that when he says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, then he says, I will be in the midst. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were all on one accord, and God had to step in. See four people in there. And then watch what he said. He said, one of them looked like Jesus. Jesus hadn't even been on the scene yet. But what he was saying, one of them don't look like everybody else. One of them got, he said, we had them boys tied up, but they walking around in the fire chilling. That's what the devil said. I had your marriage destroyed, but you walking through the house stealing. I had your bank account messed up, but you walking through the house stealing. I had got your kids put out of school, but you walking through the house. Go to say it for me. Stealing. And he said, wait a minute. I know how to count. I'm the king, but I'm seeing four people, and I know I put three in there. I know they got burned up and they dead, but it was three. He said, not only is it four, I had them wrapped up, tied up, I had them tangled up. I had them in bondage when I put them in the fire. See, some of you been in bondage, and then even more hell came up on you. But ain't it something about how when you get in that bondage and you learn how to call on the name of Jesus, I probably still didn't come out of the situation, but I know I got a God that I can depend on, that I can call on. And that's why the old folks who used to say, Lord, don't move my mountain, but give me the strength to climb. Now, the same king that had them put in there had to let them out of there. It wasn't nobody. See, that same enemy that put you in that situation could very well be the same enemy that has to take you out of that situation.
And watch this. It wasn't because he owed him something or he saw something different in him. He saw what didn't happen to him based off of what he did to him. He saw they didn't get no attitude with him. He saw that they didn't cut him off. But he said he saw them stand flat, firm, footed on the power of God. Saying it doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to change how I feel about my God. You're not going to make me come out of myself. You're not going to make me start cussing you out because I believe in God. You're not going to make me start writing hot checks because I believe in God. You're not going to make me start disowning everybody that don't look like me because I believe in God. You're not going to make me walk out of my marriage because I believe in God. You're not going to make me walk out of my church because I believe in God. So now, King looks, bring them out of there. It wasn't because they were so good. It's because he wanted to get to know what kind of God. See, that's why you want Jesus. It's easy. Watch this. It's easier to live Jesus than it is to talk Jesus. Too many of us talking Jesus, but we ain't living Jesus. But what happens when you live Jesus, people want to know. I want to know. How is it that you came out of that situation and you know she did you wrong, but you still can hug her? You know how dirty he did you, but you still give him stuff. I need to know. I'm going to let you out. And they came out not because of their will. God allowed them to get in. Look at what God allowed. Woo, Jesus. God allowed them to go through hell so he could get the glory. And you learned a couple weeks ago, he did it for his name's sake. It wasn't because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were so good. I'm going to let you go through the fire, but guess what? I'm going to be right in there with you. So now they come out. The same leaders that helped throw them in there are standing around looking at them. It's like, man, what in the world just happened here? The men outside of the thing wasn't even in the fire. And they got burned up and they dead. And these three walked out and walked around in the fire. What caught my attention, thank you, Holy Ghost, is that, my God, thank you, God. Jesus did not show himself until they were in the fire. Jesus did not show up until they were at their worst. Uh-oh. He was outside. His spirit was there because they was. But when they got in there where they could not handle it, that's when he showed up. But watch this. When they came out, Jesus did not come out with them. Why? Because I gave you the power and the authority once you come out. You got the power and authority once you come out. But when you get into a situation where you can't handle it, that's when I step in. Mm-hmm. Now the magistrates and everybody's looking at these boys. They said, ain't none of the hair on their face burned. Ain't none of their clothes burned. He said, they don't even smell like smoke. That furnace was 7 times hotter than it normally is. They don't even smell like smoke. And see, they wrote another song. They were the first ones to say, I don't look like what I've been through. I don't smell like what I've been through. I don't walk like, I don't talk like what I've been through. In other words, you cannot judge me based off of what you see. But the only thing you should know, if I look this good, if I'm striding this hard and my swag is up that much, that means I done been through something. So now, he's looking at him saying, now God's got the king's attention. The king says, if anybody, he said, no other God can do what their God can do. He said, so if anybody, watch now, says one negative word about the God that they serve, chop them up in pieces and send them outside somewhere. He said, because no other God can do what just happened here today. Now, then God began to show me some things. He began to show me some things. He said, they stood in the face of adversity. They didn't run. They did not fall down and start worshiping other gods because they didn't know how you're going to worship a God you don't know. They don't know these other gods, but they knew Jesus. And so we're going to worship the God that we know. Another one that stood up was King David. When Goliath was right there getting ready to fight him, King David says, I'm not going to lay down for you. I'm going to stand still and I'm going to fight for the Lord. But I need to talk to somebody can I talk to y'all just for a second? Can I talk to you just for a second? There was another David. My God. Let go Baptist. Give me some Baptist chords. Come here. There was another David. Yeah, my God, I felt that. That's the one I want right there. There was another David. Some of y'all gonna get that in a minute. There was another David that was born August 22nd, 1973. I don't look like what I've been through. I don't walk like what I've been through. I don't always talk like what I've been through. But there was another David that when he was younger was diagnosed with double pneumonia and had to sleep up under a plastic bag for over 2 months. But guess what? That David is still standing. But then we got to look on a little further about this David I'm talking about now. This same David had to go through all kind of medical problems, was diagnosed with asthma, and almost died 2 or 3 times of suffocation. But guess what? That David is still standing. But we got something else about this David that you know. At the age of 8 years old, that same David had been molested about 3 or 4 times over a 4-year period. But guess what? That David is still standing. I don't know about you today, but you got to understand something, that the devil wants to knock you off your trail. The devil wants to break you down. I just want to let somebody know today that it didn't stop right there. The devil kept trying to break me down, but I went off to college, had 2 kids before I was 19 years old, but that David is still standing. Left college, chasing a dream, got married for 6 months, went through hell in my first marriage. Some of y'all didn't know that, but that David is still standing. But I just want to tell my story some more. But here I am 27 years old. Here I am 27 years old. Got married to the love of my life. Got 2 kids. No job. No college degree. And a baby on the way. Welfare was my middle name. But that David is still standing. But fast forward it up. Till I turned 32 years old, 2 kids by 2 different women, my wife and my babies, 4 children, no job. Now we're filing bankruptcy. Don't know where we're going to live. -$300 in the account every week. Didn't have enough money to feed my family. But that family is still standing. That family is still standing. Yeah! I don't look like what I've been through. somebody, you don't know what I've been through. I got some secrets I ain't told nobody because I'm afraid that somebody might judge me. But I want to let you know right now that your victory is in that secret that you're keeping. Your breakthrough is in that secret that you're keeping. I know you've been in jail, brother, but today is a new day. Look behind you and say goodbye, past. Hello, future. Because I'm still standing. The system tried to break you down, but you're still standing. Your ex-husband tried to take you out, but you're still standing. Cancer tried to hurt your body, but you're still standing. Yeah. When you start counting up the cost and you start allowing yourself to see what God brought you through, then you can give him the glory. I know it's been 6 or 7 years. Y'all ain't heard me preach like that before, but God can do it however he want to do it. But I need you to understand that I got a reason to shout. I got a reason to be crazy about my God. Because I know that the blessings that hit my house don't just stop at my house. The healing that touches my house don't just stop at my house. So that's why you got to live right, because people outside of people in your home are going to be affected by what happens to you. I don't know if y'all know the story. Come here, Ty. This, come here, Derek.
You're listening to Apostle Robertson.
These my
of
brothers.
DDR Ministries and
for real.
One Family Fellowship.
My brothers. I mean, I'm talking. These my brothers. I've been blessed with two. It's hard to find just one good friend, but God has blessed me with two. And I just got him up here because he gonna need to hold his hand. Because God is so good. Miss Iris wasn't supposed to ever be able to get pregnant. But now Miss Iris is getting ready to deliver a baby in a couple weeks. But watch now. Watch now. They went a couple weeks ago on the sonogram. And they found some of the veins that's supposed to be, I believe, in the umbilical cord, right? Outside of the umbilical cord. And in the birth canal. Outside where they were not supposed to be. And watch this. There was a 98% chance that this baby wasn't going to make it. But watch what happened. Just so happened. The day the sonogram was taken, the person taking the sonogram is one of a small percentage of people that have been trained on how to identify that particular problem. Y'all got to come and talk to me, somebody. Not every doctor in the world will be able to look at it and tell that's what's going on. But just so happened, the person who done, y'all got to come hear somebody that did the sonogram said, wait a minute, something ain't right. The average doctor would have went over it and said everything is okay. But that lady, the doctor stopped and said she can't go no further. Because what happens when she begins to deliver the baby, all of these veins, all of these things start exploding and the baby bleeds out within the next 2 minutes. So they stopped everything, took her off work, and put her in the hospital. And that right there gave me a reason to shout, simply because we serve a God that cares so much about a baby that ain't even here yet to where I will put
equip the person with the trained eyesight to be able to pick up on the problem. And if God can put people in position to check on a baby, what makes you think he don't know something about you?
Lil' Cree, she in there waving. She says, I'm still standing. What the devil meant for evil, God can take it and make something good out of it. I'm still standing. But it don't stop right there. Y'all seen the picture about the little man named Aiden. We've been praying for Aiden for over a year. Aiden's stepfather, or his mother's boyfriend, shook him at 7 months old to where he had brain damage. And I'm in the hospital with him all last year, and his brain has swelled up so he couldn't move, and the doctors walk in the room with the mother and tells the mother, let him go. It's done. There's nothing more that we can do. Now I'm sitting here listening to this doctor tell this mother to let her child die. And he's giving her worst case scenarios. But let me show you how God works. This young lady had signed over guardianship to her son, to Lupe. Yeah, yeah. So the mother could not make decisions anyway. Lupe wasn't even there. So let the truth be told, you might have a lawsuit because he was trying to talk to her about killing her child and the parental guardian wasn't even in the building. You better call a lawyer, somebody. We got a nurse over here that said, that's right. But look what happened. As the doctor is sitting here talking to this girl, I'm sitting there and I'm just looking at him. And I could tell he was getting uncomfortable with me staring at him because I didn't see a doctor no more. I saw a devil. And I was looking right at him. And every time he said something negative, I said, I speak life in the name of Jesus. And I don't think the baby, I speak life in the name of Jesus. I rebuke what you said in the name of Jesus. I don't care who, don't worry about who I am, doc. Keep on talking. I'm going to keep on rebuking. And I'm going to keep on giving God the praise. But then, oh my God. This thing is real. So I went to sleep. And I had a vision about Aiden. And I woke up the next morning. I got intercessors in here that will tell you this time last year, I sent them a message. And I told them, I said, I got to do something very difficult today. I said, I got to tell the mother to take the baby off of life support and let the baby go home. My mind, I'm thinking, come home to the Lord because they've done all they can do. But God had a whole nother plan. And the family, and see, you don't know what it feels like to be the man of God that has to deliver a message that you know people don't want to hear. But I have to deliver the message because that's what God said. But some kind of way, like Ty Tribby said, between the time they took him off of life support, God turned some things around. Watch. They took him off life support. Took him home. Aiden turned a year old when? March 9th. He's still alive. He don't have everything that he needs, but when the doctor said it wasn't going to work, Aiden looked at me with some shades on the other day and said, hey, Pastor, I'm still standing. If God can deliver them like that, he can change you. 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 He can. And watch this. You may have to go through the fire before the change happens. But the fire, he ain't going to leave you in there by yourself. Stand to your feet.
Apostle Robertson would like to thank you for your continued support. This has been a production of One Family Fellowship and DDR Ministries. Thank you.